Welcome to the Bangtan Epiphany, episode 61. This week, we are talking about award shows and how they more closely represent business relationships than the facade of art they present. So if any recording academy is listening, you better protect thine virgin ears, because it's about to go down. So I never really cared about the Grammys, right? Like, basically you see what it comes down to in America. At a certain point, these award shows boil down to not necessarily the thing they were originally about, be it music or movies, and just come down to money and exchanges of power. When they don't necessarily give someone a Grammy nomination because of a business decision. So The Weeknd will perform at the Super Bowl and not be able to perform at the Grammys. Therefore, they make a business decision not to nominate him. Doesn't seem like it's about music anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, I think that before, I'm with you. I didn't really care about the Grammys. I didn't feel that like the Grammys were just like what you're saying. It's more about controlling money.
Yeah.
People who have the power over the money right now, retaining that power. And that's what it's always kind of been.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's like,
that's like not new in any way.
Yeah. And it's like the whole like entrance into like elite society or whatever, like all that like old school American values things is all garbage, to put it politely.
That's not polite, but yeah. You know, this year with Black Lives Matter and everything that we've been talking about in terms of race in this country, it's like that's step one of like many steps. I don't know how many steps there are, but that's just step one. It's like the beginning. It's not the end. So just recognizing that there's like real inequality in this country is the beginning step. And I think because our media cycle is so fast, you know, it's like we're on this instant Twitter media cycle. It's like we're not having discussions long enough.
Yeah, exactly. And not having the lasting change or impact that's necessary. You know, the like shifting of ideas within your mind, you know? Like, I think about that a lot. The Grammys came out like back in the day, 1959. And like back then, we didn't even have like color TV, you know? Like, computers were the size of a room.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, if you think about the length of time and the amount of change that's happened, it's interesting for, you know, human brains to learn how to adapt as quickly.
But I don't even think that things like the Grammys, things like that their purpose is to award the brightest star, is ever going to be a fair playing field. Like, that's never going to be fair because of the nature of what it is. We're never going to have like really fair evaluation of every musician that's in the market and have that award be given to the most deserving. I mean, first of all, we're talking about subjective things. Like, music is very subjective. So it's, of course, a little silly even to try to say what's better over another thing. That's always going to be subjective. But second of all, the whole purpose of like having musicians compete against each other and determine who's better than whom is about giving some people more power than others.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never, that's why I never really cared about it. Like in, from my viewpoint, I never had any power to help the artists I enjoyed win these awards, right? It was mostly up to them. Like you can stream and make sales records all you want, but I think that there's a different criteria that's necessary to meet to win a Grammy or to be nominated. And it doesn't, like, fans can't affect those criteria.
Right. We can affect how popular something is. We can affect the sales, right?
Yeah.
We have the power to watch videos, to stream, to buy albums, and to get our artists on the charts. That's the power we have. So that is something that we have power over. But the awards are like, it's some way of saying, hey, no matter what the genre is, these are the people who are making strides in this industry. Like, I always thought of the best kind of awards shows were awards given based on an understanding that something was not only popular because of its qualities, its inherent qualities, but it also like pushed the art form in some way. And for me, BTS Map of the Soul pushed the art form. It pushed pop music. It pushed what pop music could be, completely not recognized. The Weeknd, I love The Weeknd. The thing he did where he's wearing the same suit in all of these videos and public performances, and then he gets beat up, and then he's in bandages, and then he's revealing this grotesque face in his last video, that was almost like performance art. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It made a context on his songs. Like, his last album was so amazing. It pushed the art form. It was good popular music, and it was recognized by the general public. So it was a no-brainer that he should have swept an award show like the Grammys. No-brainer. I mean, that's just obvious.
Yeah.
If you look at the other pop musicians and what they were doing, there was a few that were doing a lot of good stuff, but not there wasn't enough competition for him to be excluded based on the merits of other people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is he is pushing the boundaries of this art form, right? And that's,
yeah,
if that's not deserving of an award, that's crazy, right? Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so as soon as they did that to The Weeknd, I kind of knew in my heart that they would screw over BTS. And they 100% screwed over BTS. They used BTS.
Yeah.
In as horrible a way as they could. They made ARMY watch the entire Grammys and teased ARMY and lied to ARMY about when BTS would perform.
Yeah.
So they could keep ARMY views to the very end and force them to watch the whole thing. And then they did not give them a small award, you know, a minor award for Dynamite, even though Dynamite broke every record.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with an assessment of what's most loved by the public.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with who's actually pushing the boundaries of pop music and pushing it in a great direction.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's almost like these award shows are not for the public.
They're not for the public.
They're just for everyone else to like pat themselves on the back. And that's why I've never been interested in watching them.
Yeah, it's the people who already have the power, keeping the power, and then being a little bit miserly about it.
Yeah, yeah. And being like, do you deserve this?
Yeah. Did you kiss enough butt to get me to give you a tiny little crumb of my power?
Yeah, yeah.
And to get my approval. And I'm just wondering who these people are. Like, who are these people that we are supporting and giving all of the power over what's good music or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I don't know. I assume a Grammy gets you things, right? Like, there are positives that came out of this, like sales of Dynamite jumped, or their Twitter account jumped in followers. You know, there is, like, public reach, you know, because of the people who view the Grammys still.
Maybe. But didn't BTS earn those views and that exposure completely on their own merits?
Oh, like, yeah. I mean,
even if they had nothing to do with the Grammys, if they weren't nominated and they had nothing to do with the Grammys, their Dynamite promotion being, like, they've done such an intensive, like, press tour, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
They've reached out to everyone.
They check those boxes, you know, try to get the radio play. But it's interesting because if, like, Grammy measures success based on radio play, then what they do is they start locking down the radio play so that only people that they, you know, deem worthy can get radio play. And it's just an interesting garbage system, right?
It's a garbage system. And here's the thing. If we look at it in terms of the way technology is changing, you have to, one of the things that was hilarious is that, like, we had to, like, sign up for a trial for one of these streaming apps that we would never have otherwise signed up for ever to watch the Grammys live.
Yeah.
And then they tease us and lie to us.
Yeah.
Right? About, like, oh, it's coming up. No, it isn't. It's at the end. They were never going to play it earlier.
I mean,
than
that's
the
just
end.
That's just, like, good business.
Let's put the little award that we didn't bother giving them at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then let's just tease the performance for the whole time because they're such a loyal fandom that they will wait to watch it.
And that's the thing is, I didn't even watch the Grammys because I'm not gonna be used in that
way. I'm not gonna be used.
Right?
And it's funny you brought up radio too. It's like here are these two dying industries.
Yep.
Radio and live TV. Right now, I have no interest in live TV. It's not worth it to watch the advertisements. It's not. I would rather pay for a membership and then have that be my financial contribution. I'm not going to spend time watching advertisements. So I'm done with live TV. Radio, same thing. I would rather stream the music I want to listen to, not the music some DJ thinks I should be listening to. That's just the same 10 songs repeated over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. I can stream. If I want to go that hard on those 10 songs, I can do that by streaming. So that's a dying industry. And the more we keep saying that it's important for BTS to get on radio and it's important for BTS to get awards, the more we kind of have to keep supporting these dying industries. But the people in these industries have only shown such contempt for BTS over and over and over again, just showing how much they are, like, creating these barriers that are based on race and culture and language to the point where I'm like, I don't want their acceptance. These guys, I just want their industry to die.
That's the thing is, it is already dying.
Yeah.
And they're just struggling to hold on.
But they're still gatekeeping. Instead of opening the doors and being like, you know what, guys, we need to be revolutionary. We need to start looking for music that is really exciting to people, that people really want to support, to help support our industries. Instead, they are still gatekeeping.
I mean,
doing that.
They're like,
even as they're dying.
Yeah, they're like this, like, old crusty king that has, like, fossilized over the door, you know? And it's like, bro,
it's the king from Lord of the Rings it's the Rohan king.
Yeah.
It's like they're just poisoned, greedy people.
Yeah,
right. That are trying to hold on to the place where they once had power, and it's just slowly trickling away.
Yeah, I mean, now I just want a BTS Lord of the Rings crossover.
I mean, that would just be amazing,
right?
Can you imagine Jungkook? Jungkook's such an elf.
Oh my god.
Oh, he would rock it.
Oh yeah.
he would rock it.
Yeah, and like Bang PD being like, you have no power here, and like throwing off his cloak, and it's all like, he's Bang PD the White. I mean, come on.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be amazing. But
Namjoon is Aragorn, just giving these like beautiful speeches about how we're turning a new page on an era of peace and love. I can see it. I can see it in my head. This crossover, I love it. But that's here's how I think of it. Okay, it doesn't matter what generation you're from. It doesn't matter who you are. If you don't want to support an industry anymore, then don't. Then that's okay. Like, I'm okay with not supporting it anymore. If BTS wants to go after a Grammy, that's their decision. Like, if they're going to keep pursuing this, they have to make that decision. But they also have to make that decision knowing that it's never been fair. And it never will be.
Yeah, and I think they have a pretty good insight into that now. Right? Yeah, I think they have.
Oh, yeah.
Also, like, I kind of see it as, like, in the future, it'll be like, oh, you have a Grammy. That's so cool. It's a cool, like, heirloom, right?
Yeah.
What was it like way back then when they gave those out?
When people cared about that award.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's like, that's the thing. You either, like we said about the way everything is adapting and, like, radio and TV is dying. And it's like, you got to change, you got to adapt, or you got to go, you know, go die.
You know what's interesting to me is, like, one of the really wonderful things about technology is that instead of us just having conversations that are local or national, we have international conversations. So we can find out about BTS and we can get access to them even though we're not Korean. And that's just really beautiful. And that just really started to ramp up, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. And it's now to the point where, like, I'm watching Korean streaming services, right? I'm watching, like, anime from a company that streams to the world by licensing Japanese content. I'm watching Bollywood on Netflix. Like, I don't need permission from American institutes of power to get the kind of content that I want and to enjoy content from other culture. They don't have to stop being racist first and allow me access to it. I can get access to content in other ways. They no longer have the power to block Americans from enjoying content from other cultures. They no longer have the power to block content in general. I mean, that's the great thing also about technology is, like, one of the biggest things is when cameras got cheap, independent film became open, became an open field.
And not all only of that, a sudden. But then you started getting amazing, cool innovations from people who can just experiment and go crazy.
And people who don't usually have the chance to tell their story.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I always loved about independent film is, like, you know, it before, when you would watch a film and there would be, like, a gay person having gay representation in that film, it would be written by someone straight. And they would be, like, a caricature, and they would be, like, there for comedic effect. And it was really insulting, and it wasn't very good representation. Now you have gay filmmakers making films about being gay. Finally, you have people telling their own stories. And it's not through the lens of the dominant culture.
Yeah.
Right? They're not being suppressed by the dominant culture. Like, this is the only role you can have.
Yeah, yeah.
You have black filmmakers telling what it's like to be black, and it's not just one story. Right?
Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful about representation. It gets closer to the truth. It gets closer to, like, what is the human experience? Well, the human experience needs to be told by the humans having those experiences.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I like it because it's not like the old kings building the narrative that they want us to see.
That they want us to see.
You know, and perpetuate that because, you know, that's not the way it is everywhere. And, like, being able to see content from other cultures is awesome because you're like, wow, that's such a cool way of looking at it, or a different way of approaching that problem, or another side of that with technology. You'd be like, how do they have like 8K 5G and like I'm having trouble downloading this picture of BTS? Like, what's wrong with my internet? You know?
Yeah. Let's not even think about how in America we think we're this really great industrial power. But when you look at our infrastructure, when you look at like how we live, yes, we have wealth, but you know, they're living in the future in Seoul and Tokyo and Hong Kong. Like there are problems everywhere and there are benefits everywhere. Yeah. And we are behind the times in so many ways. So many ways. We've just been, you know, we've been floating off of our power for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Just riding it and trying to like keep, I don't know, keep everyone locked in so they don't realize that there's something better.
You always have to worry about a country that goes through a really strong rise in nationalism. It's like, why do they need to hype themselves up about their country? Oh, it's because things are shitty. It's bread and circuses, right? Like, yeah. Nationalism is at its peak when like people are unhappy, when people are poor, when people are being used to feed the worst monsters at the top.
Yeah. Now I think like as we are like, you know,
eat the rich.
As we are immortals, you may throw out references that are a bit old, so maybe you should define the bread and circuses thing.
It's a famous line from Shakespeare on Julius Caesar. I think it's from Shakespeare's play on Caesar, but it's this line that like, give the people bread and circuses. So Caesar was known for he's really good at damage control. So he would do, there was lots of holidays and lots of gladiatorial battles and things to keep people occupied. So they wouldn't think about distracted. So they wouldn't think about how much power he was amassing and how little he cared about the average Roman. And then he also started the Pax Romana campaign. He campaigned this like Roman nationalism to keep everybody in line. It's like, well, they might be having a better time in that country over there, but you're Roman and that makes you better than other people. So you can just feel pride instead of having enough bread in your house to eat. Just feel the pride. Feed yourself off pride.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. And just think about like the people who all of these Trump supporters, right? Hmm. All of the type of person who stormed the Capitol. Hmm. You know what the common denominator among these people are besides a lack of education and some serious racism?
And an annual income.
Annual income.
Yeah.
Annual income. Because if you divert people who don't have enough of an education to see through your lies and distract them from how you're a shyster stealing everything that they need for their family to live a happy, successful, thriving life. It's the greatest con, man. It's the greatest con. Keep feeding the rich. Keep giving them your life energy. And turn it into like a political thing.
Yeah.
But really, it's just the rich getting rich. I mean, that's all it has been for a while. So I'm not interested in feeding any more energy into these institutes of power because I don't have to. That's what's great. Grammys can't block me from BTS content. They can't stop me. Like, their validation isn't needed for me to tell everyone I know how amazing BTS is. Their validation isn't needed for me to understand how profound The Weeknd's album and his artistry is.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. They haven't necessarily been about music for a while, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that's the facade.
That's the facade. And it's like, I'm feeling very clear-eyed about my country after this last year, where I'm like, I just, America's not doing that great. We're not doing that great. And it's not that America is the worst. It's not like some binary. It's like good or bad. Every country has their things. It's just that the way that the people in power in America are choosing to retain their power is like, I don't know. It's like Scrooge holding his gold coins with white knuckles, right?
Yeah. And
this
and
white knuckle grip on the power that Scrooge has right now, just holding it as tight as possible, but in a really stupid, obvious way. Like it's clear to everybody that these millionaires and billionaires that run our country only care about themselves and their own money and keeping their power. They're not innovating. They're not interesting. They're not telling us stories we haven't already heard. They're dying.
Yeah, exactly. And they're struggling to survive at the detriment of, you know, the masses, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because they don't care. It's not about music. It's not about, I mean, music gives people so much happiness. Music is celebratory. It's celebratory. Even a sad song is a way of like transcending sadness.
Yeah. And like working through something,
whatever it is. Turning like something into art, an emotion, a feeling, an idea into art it transcends the idea and it creates healing for people. I mean, art has that power. It's really beautiful. So does it need to be, do we need award shows? Do we need it on radio so the average American can listen to BTS and hear them? No. If you find new music on the radio, I mean, come on.
I mean, what does that mean? You're like a long haul trucker, or like you drive your car a lot, or
what? What is that? Yeah, that's the only time people listen to the radios in their cars.
Yeah,
it's like, have you never figured out how to get the Bluetooth to work in your car?
Yeah, or
that's why you're listening to radio.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the only people who listen to radio. It's like, well, I couldn't get the Bluetooth to work, so I had to listen to the radio. So I listened to the 10 songs from 1990 that are considered acceptable by this radio station.
Yeah.
It's a 90s channel. And I listen to the same 10 songs over and over and over and over.
And I love it because it reminds me of my childhood.
Yeah. Like, okay, that person is not going to put any energy into trying to become a fan of BTS. That person who listens to the radio because they're too lazy to hook up their Bluetooth and they have such little care for music that they're listening to the same 10 songs over again, they're never going to become ARMY. They're never going to really care about it. So I don't care if they hear BTS. I don't care if they accept BTS.
Well, yeah. And not only that, but like that whole like nostalgia thing's great and all, but it's like, it's also like you don't want to get locked into it because then you'll never progress or change or find anything new and exciting. Right. If you're always looking back to like the old days, right?
Yeah. I was thinking about this. This is a little bit off topic, so you might get mad at me, but he hates it when I go off topic.
That's right. I'm a warden or something.
I've been trying to like read, get back into some reading, but all my old series I feel differently about. Like 5 years ago, if I was going to pick up a book just for fun, I might pick up some of my fantasy series, right? Or Harry Potter, or like Harry Potter as an example. That damn evil, like Death Eater author ruined it for me. She ruined it for me.
Yeah, yeah. And then we get into the whole like death of the author. And then I'm like, we're way off topic now.
But all as I'm saying is like, I don't like the things I liked 5, 10 years ago in the same way right now.
Oh, yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, that's sad. Is everything ruined? Do I not like things? And I'm like, no, I know more now. I'm wiser to some small degree. But I'm also like, my tastes have changed over time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's okay. Like I feel like that's normal.
Yeah. And so, that's been happening with me as well.
Yeah. Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah. I almost feel like, you know, I don't want to be too grim, but it's almost like I died and was reborn. Like, I'm completely different now that ever since 2019.
Yeah. I mean, me too. We all are.
I mean, it's changed my viewpoint on things, and you know, I'm learning so many new things. So yeah, if I went back to things back in the day, like older music or something, I'm like, okay, I get why maybe I used to jam to this or whatever, but yeah. It's just not my thing right now.
It's just not my thing right now. And I don't think, I feel like at first that feels like a loss, but I'm not really thinking of it as like a big loss, because what's amazing is I have such incredible access to so much more content, to so much more different things. I can go find books that I'm interested in now. It's just that I can't just go choose the stuff I would have been interested in before. I have to put the energy into going and finding the things that I would actually like now that would inspire me and excite me now.
Yeah. And like, you always have, I don't know, it's almost like time travel. You can be like, you know, it was great reading those books back in the day when they came out. I remember that time and it was awesome and exciting.
Yeah.
And now it's 2021, right? It's like, this is a new day for something different.
Exactly. And being fans of BTS taught me that, one, never assume that you've already discovered all of the things that you're going to love.
Yeah.
That you have given the world's books, music, and art forms such that you are so educated in those things that it's impossible for you to find something that you're really going to love. Because you're wrong. You've probably, unless you're like a PhD in each of those subjects, and even if you are, you still have only seen a fraction of what the world has to offer.
Oh, yeah. And that's like one of the most important things to think about, you know, as a person that's getting older. Like, often
you're not getting that old.
No, I'm just saying anyone who's listening or whatever, but like, everyone gets older every day, but the idea that you solidify into like, well, I'm a person who only likes this thing.
Yeah.
Right. You gotta just try new things.
And isn't that like, isn't it funny? Cause I remember in high school and college, that's kind of like almost how you see yourself. You're like, I'm a person who likes European heavy metal and Italian classics of film from the 60s. And it's like your tastes kind of become part of your personality and who you present yourself to be. And you try to find people who have like similar tastes to you, or your friends think you're cool because you know all the great Italian classics of cinema, right? And that becomes your thing, your shtick. I feel so comfortable in completely letting go of any like persona I had that was around my taste in art.
Mm.
You know, like it's because it's stupid.
Not only that, but it's super freeing.
It's super freeing to just be like, you know what? I'm going to like whatever I like.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be open-minded in my consumption of art. And if I like it, if I find something interesting about it, I'm going to let myself pursue it. And if it isn't vibing with me, I'm going to drop it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to drop it and I'm going to let it go. And sometimes it's hard to do both. Sometimes it's like when your friends come to you and they're like, hey, you have to watch this movie. It was like the best thing I ever watched. If it doesn't pass the 10-minute mark, I'm going to be like, sorry, bro. It didn't pass the 10-minute mark.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the 10-minute rule for most films is that Hollywood writers tend to stick to this rule. You have to present the frame and the story of the film. Like, basically present what the film is about in the first 10 minutes. There are some good films that break this, but it's very rare. I can probably think of like 3 films that don't do that. Very, very rare. Most films present what the story is in that first 10 minutes. So if you're not vibing with a film in 10 minutes, turn that sucker off. It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
Like, you already have seen what this is about. And I do the same thing. Like, I'll watch a show with a K-drama. You can't do that. I feel like you have to watch 3 hours of a K-drama before you even know what the show is about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's for real.
Right?
I mean, that's just the very nature of the K-drama and the structure of it is I really feel it's the first 3 to 4 episodes.
3 to 4 episodes. Yeah. Like, you don't even start the plot until, like, episode 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every different thing has a different amount. With music, you have to, for me, I have to listen to an album 3 times before I know if I like it.
Okay.
If I listen to it once, I will still not know. It's like the 3rd time where I'm like either rocking out to the song when I hear it.
Yeah.
Or I'm just sort of bored. And then I'll know whether I'm into the music or not.
That's cool.
So that's the thing. Like, learn your ways of figuring out how to find new things and enjoy them and be okay with not liking something that you thought you would like. And be okay with liking something you thought you'd never like.
Well, that's the thing, is like, then it changes something, right? Like, you, it's a way of learning, right? You're yeah. like, wow, I would have never thought in 1998 that I would like this band or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But now it's 2021 and this is crazy. If you look back, you would have never thought that, like... It's just crazy how you can reflect and be like, wow, I was totally different. Like, when I was a teenager, I wore fedoras and trench coats or whatever it was, right? Like,
yeah.
It's pretty funny.
I mean, this is all, like, managing your personas and how much power you let your personas have over you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your friends know that you love Hong Kong kung fu movies and you're an expert in them and you adore them, and then you watch one and it doesn't bring you joy. It's like, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're not you. It just means that maybe your tastes have changed, and that's totally okay.
Yeah.
And we don't understand how and why a person likes art. That's not something that we can perfectly measure.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, like, perfect metrics for that. So that means there's a little bit of, like, I don't know, magic to it. There's a magic in art. Why does it connect with us? What about our lives or our tastes or our feelings or who we are makes it that we connect with this thing? So, like, sometimes when I go on Twitter, though I almost never go on Twitter nowadays, because it's usually a negative net effect for me. So I don't do it often. But when I try to go on Twitter just to kind of see, well, what are other ARMY like and what are they thinking about and what are they like? Sometimes I find that there are ARMY who like BTS for, like, completely different reasons than I do. Like, the thing that they're vibing off the most is not the thing I'm vibing off the most. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that, like, people can recognize why they like something and then they can put energy and excitement into the aspect that they really love, and that loving an artist is really a personal experience. It's just a shared personal experience. Like, even between you and I, we don't have the same taste about everything. There are songs that I love more than you and vice versa. And I love that. I'm glad that your connection to what you love is personal, right? It's not like we joined a club and the club decides for everyone what they like and don't like. No, it's inside you.
That's the thing. It's not the Grammys.
It's not the Grammys. We don't need the Grammys to tell us what we like. Yeah. I don't care about their opinion at all. They've already shown me that they're not good at this thing of, like, determining what's best. They can't determine what's best. They can't determine what is having the most important and marked influences on the art form, because they don't give a shit about the art form. They only give a shit about money.
Yeah.
So I don't give a shit about them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, they're not in our realm, or they're not playing our game, right? Like, we're in it for the music, you know, and the change that the music brings.
I created a Patreon because I wanted to make, like, my own crafty, merchy, like, stuff, you know, like bracelets and postcards and bookmarks and photo cards. So yeah, you can find us on Patreon, The Bangtan Epiphany. And we'll have some sweet merch to send back to you, unofficial crafty merch. So if you did want to support us, amazing. This is just Emily making you something out of love, out of our mutual love for BTS. Byron wants you to know to come say hi to him on Twitter at BTS Epiphany Pod. Is that right, Byron? Yeah. And he says, support the show on Patreon, The Bangtan Epiphany on Patreon. And thank you for supporting our show. Thanks, guys.
I want to talk about Map of the Soul 7. The album that I think got robbed. Right? And it got robbed by a whole pandemic. Got robbed by the world. Because of the cycle of the way we move on so quickly, it didn't get its full moment, you know, to shine.
You know, yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And we just watched Matsone again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That never stops being the most intense experience.
I mean,
it just doesn't stop.
It's a masterpiece.
It's so good and it's so intense. And you're like, Namjoon, are you okay?
Yeah. Like big hit or Hybe, put this out on Blu-ray for me.
Immediately.
Like now.
Immediately. It's so brilliant. But the thing about it is, like, if they had toured Matsone,
mm-hmm.
they would have been doing press in every country as they toured it. They would have been releasing behind the scenes videos. They would have made a documentary film about that tour. And we would have gotten so much more content directly related to Mot7 and the narrative of Mot7 and the metaphors in Mot7. And there's so much incredible creative gold wrapped into Mot7. I think it's a masterpiece. I think it's like Namjoon's magnum opus, right? When he started on this idea of examining the parts of the soul from Jung,
mm-hmm.
he carried it through into Mot7 and in such a like brilliant and beautiful way. And it was also a chance for like each of the seven members to like dig deep and write such personal songs that carried and continued this theme of examining their egos, their shadows, and their personas. It's so brilliant. And yet, because of the timing, it's like we're all invested in whether Dynamite gets an award from a bunch of racist, old, rich gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we've been talking about. Is Dynamite going to get this award? And all I want to talk about is Map of the Soul 7 and how this album just completely transformed my ideas on what subjects popular, fun, beautiful music can discuss.
Because
I've never seen anything that is such an examination of fame and ego and vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
From such extremely popular artists that is so heartfelt and wise and beautiful and exciting with so many like different storytelling. I mean, Black Swan had such incredible storytelling.
Yeah.
It had all of these like components. It was a beautiful expression of dance. While at the same time, being this gutting song about losing your inspiration, which is just such an amazing dichotomy.
Yeah.
It's so fun for one of the most creatively beautiful and aesthetic songs to be about the subject of not being inspired.
Yeah.
It's like Yoongi's shadow performance. That was another thing that was just mind-blowing. For him to talk about and visually show a horrifying image of being chased by fans and being sort of consumed by his own fame and how it terrifies him. I mean, that's such a vulnerable, intense thing to do.
Oh, yeah. And then also that hot fire that is the social commentary of Yeah.
To look at social media. I mean, that was beautiful. And it was one of the best versions of that. I've seen other people criticize social media and art and not so maybe cancel culture, but criticize the way in which bullying and cruelty goes on in social media before. I thought Taylor Swift's song was a really, really good one. I thought that was so much fun. That Taylor Swift song, You Need to Calm Down.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really wonderful entry into that like subgenre of sort of criticizing the way that bullying goes on and discrimination goes on in social media. And I loved that. But like most of those kinds of songs, it's kind of like it's a reaction to the cruelty of it directly. What I really loved about is that it's kind of like, just like all BTS songs, it's not one statement. It's an essay. It starts out with a premise and then it goes hard in one direction and then it swings back and makes the alternate point. As so many rap line songs do. That's what's amazing about having a rap line song with three very different rappers who write lyrics in very different ways and kind of take three different points of view. Yeah. They have this genius way of not just saying one thing, but sort of having a whole conversation go on. And the conversation was so beautifully finished by J-Hope doing a song about sort of rage and coming to the conclusion that his compassion is the reason he doesn't want people to be so cruel.
Yeah, and I think that's the coolest thing about it is they're like, you know, it's hard, it's angry, you know, it's aggressive. But there is, like, compassion, like, interwoven through that song.
Yeah. And that's a nuanced song. If you look at the lyrics and there's something that is going on that's transformative, it makes you think about it. It makes you have to ponder. Because you have to figure out, well, who do I identify with in this song? Like, which verse is really speaking to me? And what does that say about me and this subject?
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm a little bitter that we're spending so much time on Dynamite and its promotions because that time got sort of stripped away.
Well, yeah, and I feel like it was seven. That's the thing is it was necessary, right? It was like something they had to do. Like the song was for us, you know, it was just a comfort. And then they had to also do the necessary things. But we enjoy Namjoon as a lyricist and songs much. That he actually writes.
We are such fans of Namjoon and his incredible sexy brain.
Yeah.
His beautiful sexy brain. And just, I mean, these ideas are just, they're so meaty. They're so fun. They're so genius. And yeah, if I could make sure that he heard one thing that I said ever, I would be like, that I appreciate how much work and effort you put into these lyrics. I appreciate how vulnerable you are. I appreciate how deep you are. Be as philosophical and deep as you want, man. It's conveyed. It's meaningful. And it like makes art that will endure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Map of the Soul 7. Album of the year.
Of the year, hands down. Hands down. So then I'm just like, do I need to get upset about the Grammys?
Yeah.
Do I need to be sad about it? Do I need to be angry about it? I'm only sad because they hurt BTS's feelings. And that makes me feel rage.
Sure, sure. I mean, you know me, I'm kind of a different mind where I'm like, I don't put any energy into them. Like, they don't even register on an emotional scale with me. Like, all I care about is BTS. And, like, the way I look at it, they, you know, may be sad or whatever, but they are also like, all right, they see it as a challenge. And I really like that. They're like, we're going to keep fighting and we're going to keep going.
And I think that's wonderful. I mean, I think that that's how they've seen their entire career.
Exactly.
Their entire career has been built on taking the next step up. Now, I personally hope that for them, they're going to get to a step and be like, okay, whose staircase are we climbing?
Well, that's the thing is, like, back in the day, they were doing that same thing where they're running through this, like, idol checklist. And they're like, you know what? We don't need variety shows. We're going to just do our own variety show. And that has worked. You know, now they're getting people that are like
being begged to come on to the variety shows. Well, not only that, but
people are like, can we come on your variety show?
Can we come on your variety show?
And, like, and it's come full circle now where they're like, all right, I guess we'll come on a variety show. Like, right? So that's thing is, like, Grammys needs BTS. They need music. You know?
They were in like the basement level when they started.
Yeah.
In the Korean music industry, they got shoved into a basement. They had to build their own staircase to get out of this basement. Mm-hmm. There was no stairs. They had to build it. They built it. They started to come out, and then people kept slamming doors in their face in the Korean music industry.
Yeah.
And they've just, every music industry they've entered, they've opened one door. They've built one step, just one step at a time. That's just their way. Their way is like proving themselves by just this like indomitable spirit. You know, they keep coming. They keep creating and they keep facing all these challenges. So I'm going to see it as a positive energy that BTS can always challenge themselves and bring that sort of unbreakable energy that they've had to this, and that overall it means that I'm going to get amazing things from BTS. But in terms of like whether I'm going to care about whether they eventually get a Grammy or not, and whether I'm going to be so vindicated and so happy when they get a Grammy, I don't think I will. I don't think I would, because I just don't recognize the Grammy's authority.
Well, not only that, but it's like, I will see it as like, that is amazing, and I will congratulate them, right? Because it's an achievement for them, and I'd be like, now you can focus on something that's more important, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
I really hope that they don't focus on it at all.
If anything, a Grammy is just but another step in America. That's all it is.
And really, at this point, it's like, you're already, your power on YouTube, your power on social media, BTS's power is so big at this point. I don't know, like, I hope that they don't put a lot of energy into radio, that they don't put a lot of energy into Grammys and MTV and into like Ryan Seacrest and all of these like gatekeepers.
Yeah, I mean, that's
all of these white, straight, male American gatekeepers who are wealthy and powerful. Like, we don't need them. You've already reinvented the industry in such a way that they need you. Grammys needed BTS way more than BTS needed Grammys. And that's kind of true across the music industry. At this point, BTS is more profitable for them than it is profitable for BTS to, you know, have these deals with them. So if Big Hit wants to do those deals and make those connections from a purely business point of view, fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, make your money, Big Hit, whatever.
Yeah.
But I hope that BTS, the members, can just let it go. Can just let it go and do what they would do anyways.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to create an album, I hope that there's no influence of whether it would please Americans Grammy voters or whatever.
And the way I see it, it's like there's going to be a turning point, I assume, where they will start coming to BTS.
Oh, they already have.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the thing. Like, sometimes they create steps out of the people. They're like, you know, the way they do their stage performances, you know, where Namjoon will get down and Yoongi will jump up on his back as like a step. And like, they're going to do that with Ryan Seacrest, you know?
Make a human step out of Ryan Seacrest. That would be nice.
He's a nice little step.
I think we just have to have faith that they get it. And I think I do. I actually think that one of the things that Big Hit's been doing over the past few years, but especially in the last like couple years, is trying to understand the American music industry and how it actually works, you know? Yeah. And they are no stranger to corrupt, unfair systems where there are gatekeepers. That's the system they entered in Korea.
Yeah, and something to always remember as well, like, there's this bias, like, where you might not think they're that intelligent or something. I've kind of seen this, like, with interviews, like, oh, they're having difficulty speaking English or whatever. But they are actually more intelligent than you think, right? Like, there's so many things that they are thinking and know that is beyond the scope of an interviewer.
Absolutely.
Right? And yeah, it's like,
exactly.
You can really see that in the contrast between American interviews and Korean interviews. But one of the most telling things, I think, for me was when they posted their reaction video to the Grammy loss. Do you remember watching that?
Yeah.
One of the things
that...
It
hurt my feels.
Oh, yeah. It was like, really? You guys are posting this? What? But...
Jimin was so sad.
One of the things that stood out to me, and it was amazing because he said it in English.
Yeah.
Was Namjoon being like, I told you so.
And he was saying that to Jungkook, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's cool because it's like they were having these discussions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they were talking about expectations and things like that.
Yeah. So. And I think that you can tell how aware Namjoon is of certain cultural things, mm-hmm. especially in the way he speaks English. Now, he's not 100% fluent, and he's said that a lot.
Yeah.
But he does do this thing, which I think takes a long time when you're learning a language, where the way he speaks English in interviews is he hits the perfect amount of casual.
Mm.
Like, he's not translating his words from Korean to English and speaking in a Korean manner.
Yeah.
He is speaking colloquial English.
Yeah, exactly.
He's using slang, and he's using expressions, and he's like hitting the mood. He's really good at it, actually. I see Namjoon, and also probably a lot of people in Big Hit, kind of examining American culture as they're trying to navigate the American music industry. So they're not just looking at, you know, oh, this is the best award, let's try to get it. They're also looking at the fact that, like, oh, but this award's really racist, and here are all the people they're also excluding, and here are the people that have problems with these power structures, and here's what we would have to do in order to even get accepted. I know that BTS did not were not blind to the insult of having them be the last performance of this award show. Like, the last performance is a big spot. The one that you're advertising the audience to wait for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, watch all these really good performances, but the one you're most excited about is this one at the end. They knew that that happened. They knew that that was solely the power of ARMY,
mm-hmm.
that they advertised it in that way. And they lost a minor award that wasn't even done in the main show.
Yeah.
How? That's an insult. And of course they got that insult. They're so gracious and humble that in the video, you know, the most negative thing he said is like, I thought this would probably happen.
Yeah.
I knew this would happen. They know how mistreated they were in that awards show.
Yeah.
You think Yoongi's just completely like, oh, this is great. I love being treated like a way for an awards show to make money by completely, you know, insulting me. Of course not.
Well, yeah. And that's the
thing. Yuki's writing Cypher 5 about the Grammys right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He kind of mentioned that during the 2020 New Year's, you know, from 2019 to 2020.
Yeah.
He was saying like, yeah, we'll probably perform and then get nominated. And
then the next year get an award. And yeah. If they go with that plan, I will support them. But if they get that award, I'm going to feel like it's too little too late.
Well, that's the thing. And like
they already showed their cards. They showed their cards. I don't get to re-like the Grammys. If turn around and decide to respect them finally, they've just used them. They've used them for profit. They used ARMY. They used us. And that's, I'm not going to forget that. I'm not going to forget that they did that. And they thought that it was like a good idea to not even give that minor award and to still use ARMY. ARMY's not going to forget that, man. We're not dumb. Yeah. We are not dumb. And we understand our power. You know, I want the boys to have whatever they want and I'm going to support them, but I don't want to support these industries anymore. Screw them. Like, screw them.
Well, that's the thing. We don't need them. They need us.
We don't need them. They need us. So let's just feel so good in the fact that we are the biggest fandom on the planet. On the planet. And that our power is so great that we don't need them. They need us.
And with that, we don't even have to worry about them. All we have to
do... We don't have to worry about them at all.
...is enjoy BTS.
If BTS asks for something that we can give them, we give it to them.
Yeah.
And we will continue to do it. Why? Because they've earned our love and devotion with their work. That's the exchange we have. We don't have power over the Grammys, and we never will. It's a dying institute by racist gatekeepers who are totally detached from modern culture. And just are not interesting and are not valuable. I don't care about their opinions and I don't need them. And I just need BTS, and BTS will always be there for me. They're always going to put out high quality stuff. They're always going to allow themselves to be vulnerable for their art. They're always going to experiment and they're always going to work hard. I mean, like, we've had a decade of their hard work. They've proved it over and over again. So I'm really happy because I'm not, you know, worried about the fact that there are these institutes of power that keep being assholes. I can just ignore them.
Yeah.
I can just ignore them and continue to support a group of genuine, brilliant artists who I trust.
Yeah, and that's the thing, just like these like amazing intellectuals, you know, and the level of art and creativity that they're bringing to music is like at a level that needs to be matched, you know?
Yeah. What do I need to worry about anyone else? I support BTS. BTS gives me back everything I give them 100-fold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Map of the Soul 7, come on.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And Wings?
Don't get me started.
We got to at least, you know, give it a shout out.
But that Black Swan.
Yeah.
Dance Break. Matsune. Oh.
I mean, that whole concert. Filter. Oh! Filter. Jimin. My Time.
Jimin! Oh, they're all so good. You know what? That's what they give me. That's what they give me. They've given me so much. So, like we got the award of BTS. We get the award of BTS. It will never come close to another award. That will never come close to any other award. We got the award of BTS.
Yeah. No, that's for real.
We lucked out, guys. Are we in BTS for life?
What?